very special edition of the NerdWatch podcast. It is the end of summer movie spectacular. That means that, of course, we have the fall movie season on the way. So right before we give you our, I should say right after we give you our picks for best and worst movies of the summer, we'll also give you a little bit of a fall movie preview as well, I think. Is that right, Professor Barry?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, fantastic. I am joined by two lovely gents. One guy reminds me of Laurel. The other guy reminds me of Hardy.
Which one is he talking about?
It is Professor Barry, the cinema scholar, and the cinema scholar Aaron is in the house joining us. They are, of course, myself, G Money. We are part of the Hawaii Film Critics Society. It is the Hawaii Film Critics Society.
It is.
It's called the Maui Film Critics Society. Hawaii Film Critics Society. You can check out our
Maui
reviews
chapter.
At the Maui chapter. Hawaii Film Critics Society. It's highfilmcriticssociety.org. You can check us out as well. You can check us out on the NerdWatch Facebook page as well. Big shout out, of course, to Aaron for putting up all his movie and Blu-ray and DVD reviews.
Thank you, sir.
On NerdWatch. It's been an absolute pleasure to read that on the NerdWatch. I hope you guys have been enjoying it that listen and follow us on Facebook.
I was busy this weekend.
Yeah, you were certainly busy. We didn't get to do it on the main pod, but you did watch five movies this week. What'd you see?
Just real quick, I watched Paternal, which got released on DVD.
Uh-huh.
So good.
Uh-huh.
Theaters, Happy Time Murders, Operation Finale, Searching, and Kin.
Kin, yes. Matter of fact, you have a big story about Kin. You were actually shouted out by the directors of that film, were you not?
I only hashtagged them in my review, and then next thing I know, they commented saying thank you for your support. Thank you for being one of the very few positive reviews is what they say.
Nice.
And I wish there is more positive reviews.
Kin, of course, is what?
It is the expansion of their short film Bagman from 2014. This adopted kid finds a alien gun, and his brother just gets out of prison, who was the boyfriend in Transformers Age of Extinction.
Oh, really?
Jack Rayner. Hmm. And he gets into trouble with James Franco because James Franco is a criminal, and everyone's out to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Franco wants to get revenge for his brother. FBI is after them. The guys who originally owned the gun are after them because there's a signal in the gun, so it's leading them towards.
Fantastic. Well, the fact you got a shout out is really cool from the director, so that's great.
Yeah.
So everybody should see this film.
Yes, I loved it.
Fantastic.
Loved it.
All right, and then Searching is the one with John Cho, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're officially in the fall movie season, right,
yeah.
I would assume? So these are fall movies. Searching, of course, is getting some really good praise at this point.
Yes, and it very well should be.
Yeah, and Searching was good. Happy Time Murder is not doing so well.
Yeah.
Crazy Rich Asians dominating the box office yet again.
Yep.
Yeah, so doing another
Asian
domination at the box office this weekend yet again. All right, well, gentlemen. It has been
Todd. You're in my shot.
Are we still doing it?
Yeah, no, we are still doing it. But gentlemen, it has been quite the summer of film. I have to tell you, after realizing that it was over, I felt extremely underwhelmed by this summer. I don't know about the rest of you, but I was kind of underwhelmed by the summer of 2018. So, Professor Barry, shall I start with you, sir?
Sure.
Let's go over. The best of. First, should we do the best or the worst of? What do you think?
Let's start with the best.
All right, let's start with the best of the summer of 2018 this year.
My two favorites.
Okay, hang on a second.
Okay.
I forgot it. Okay, let me say something.
Okay.
Okay. As film critics, do we establish whether or not Infinity War counts as a summer film?
It's not a summer movie. It came out in frickin' April. There were kids still taking the SATs and picking their prom outfits. So, no, not a summer movie.
Plus, that movie's garbage.
wow. See, all right, fine.
Originally, my list consisted of April through August, but then I saw Barry posted his,
right.
So I'm like, okay.
Fine.
Sure, Barry knows what he's talking
all right,
about.
Fine. Barry knows what he's talking about. All right,
we
so
go
no.
From May to August.
Just let's be technical about this, okay?
Right.
If you're out of school, if you don't have tests to worry about, you don't have prom to worry about, and you can go to the beach and you don't have to worry about seeing a movie after school, then therefore it's the summer movie season.
Fine, Barry. Have it your way. All right.
Plus, it would be on his worst of the summer list anyway.
What were your best films of the summer starting in June of 2018?
Oh, no, starting in May.
May.
Starting,
oh, you're right. Yeah, May. Starting May. May 5th. No, that's
in
right.
In fact, my favorite came out in May, and that's Solo, A Star Wars Story. That's my favorite.
Wow.
It was everything I wanted it to be. I'm not saying that Alden Ehrenreich is going to replace Harrison Ford in any way, shape, or form, and I don't think that's the point. I think the point was it's establishing a buddy comedy between Han Solo and Chewbacca. I thought it was a hugely entertaining film. I thought it had a lightness to it that was really refreshing. I thought it was a Star Wars film, but at the same time, it kind of took away all the weight of needing to establish, you know, the bridge to the story, the middle of the story. It didn't. It felt like a standalone film, and I thought it was really charming. I thought it was really funny. I think it really, really worked. I thought it was engaging and exciting as much as those films needed to be. It's the most fun I've had at a Star Wars movie really since 1983, honestly. So I love Solo, and the other movie I loved that came out this summer, my two favorites, Solo and Sicario, Day of Soldado. I didn't know we really needed a sequel to Sicario. That film was as intense, as exciting, and as complex as I thought it would, and hoped it would be. It's a modern-day Western. Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin were certainly in their element.
Yep.
I found that movie to be just fantastic. I couldn't believe how good it was.
So for May, Solo was surprisingly good, I would have to say, to be honest. The buzz had been very bad for the film.
Yes.
I guess there were still questions about people were still upset about how The Last Jedi was treated.
Yeah.
So therefore, they let that kind of ruin their expectations of Solo. Solo turned out to be a better film than anyone ever expected. And I think that I think you're right. I think that also does hit my list as one of the best movies of the summer.
Cool.
Solo was great.
I think it sounds like the only gripe with Solo is the casting of Han Solo.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I think people had a problem with and they're iffy, but everybody loves everything else.
I think people did have a problem with, what is her name? I can't recall her name.
Oh, from the one from Terminator?
Or Emilia Clarke?
Emilia Clarke. Yeah. I think people had questions about Emilia Clarke, but I thought she did very well, especially in how light this film actually kind of was.
Yeah.
I mean, even though there were heavy scenes with the Wookiees and things like that in the film. Overall, though, I have to tell you that, you know, the film was – that is – she was talking about modern-day Westerns. Day of Soldado and Solo are technically – those are – one's a sci-fi Western and one's a modern-day Western. That's what that movie was.
Absolutely.
And I thought I thought Solo did more for the Star Wars universe than even Last Jedi did, if you can say that.
Definitely. I won't give it away if you haven't seen the film, but the twist involving her character I thought to be so satisfying, very risky considering what it included, and it included a part of the Star Wars lore that a lot of fans are not happy with. I thought that was a really bold choice and a very satisfying and a very surprising choice. I thought there's no way that's what it is. I'm like, wow, that's gutsy and that makes so much sense and that's really satisfying the way they pulled it all in.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get enough of this movie.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, for someone like Paul Bettany to just kind of step in the role that wasn't even made for him.
Yeah, and it was a CGI character originally.
Originally, right.
Apparently, yeah, it was going to be CGI. So he steps in. I thought it was a great choice. Great performance by him.
Yeah, great performance. And he really did make a great villain in the film.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what was – I guess you could almost say that was what the over-the-top kind of villain that Star Wars universe kind of needed, and he did a very good job stepping into that role, so for sure.
That would be number two of my favorite.
Yeah. What else is on that list, Professor Barry?
Of my favorites? Let's see. Well, the one that moved me to tears is Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
I didn't really know that we needed a documentary about Mr. Rogers or that it was something I needed to see on the big screen, but yes and yes.
It's now available. By the way, we never talked about it. It is available now.
Just came out today. That's right.
Just came out today.
Yeah, just came out. Paradise Video has it at 116 South Waukea Ave, next to Maryland Comics and Collectibles.
So everybody should see this film, right?
Yeah, it's a must. Even if you don't know Mr. Rogers or you're indifferent about Mr. Rogers, it's a plea for empathy. It's about the need to be decent. It's about the need to be a good person. It's about how this person who had very much a religious background, a very specific background.
Yeah, he's a Presbyterian minister.
And he found a way to make a message of love and hope accessible to the world. It's a beautiful film. There's nothing disingenuous about it. It addresses the things about Mr. Rogers that are corny and strange. It addresses the urban legends about him. It addresses the Eddie Murphy sketches about Mr. Rogers. And in fact, they actually have him on camera talking about how he loved the Eddie Murphy sketch. And there's so many things about this film that are surprising and moving. The cinematography is gorgeous. Like it really, you don't think, oh, I don't need to see a documentary on the big screen. In this case, you did. But certainly catch it in any way you can. I love this film.
Fantastic. Yeah, I was surprised that it got as much attention as it did during the summertime.
Yeah.
And you're right. A fantastic film. Is that on your list as well, Aaron?
I did not get a chance to see that movie.
It's available. Yeah. We can watch it. Let me know what you think. What else, Professor Barry, would you say is kind of defined the summer of 2018 for you this year?
Well, I mean, Spike Lee's Black Klansman was a nice surprise, not only because of the quality of the film. You know, I've been a huge fan of his since She's Gotta Have It. I've been a fan of his for a very long time, since his first film. Yeah. So how cool is it that he's made a great film and people have responded to it? He was on the cover of Time magazine recently. I love that people are all of a sudden, once again, paying attention to him and looking at his work and really, you know, seeing what a great guy
I still have yet to watch Black Klansman. I'm very excited to see it, though. I've heard nothing but good things, and after your review, I'm very excited to watch it.
I'd be very curious to what you think about it. I think Topher Grace for Best Supporting Actor is probably going to happen, definitely, out of all the actors in that film. And also the one that I know that Aaron liked it more than I did, but I was very impressed by Mission Impossible Fallout. The caliber of that film, this is 6 movies in, and it feels like there's every time they kind of manage to one-up themselves. I think what was the one before that? What was the name? Thank you, Rogue Nation. I think Rogue Nation, for me, that's the pinnacle of, I'd say it's like a trilogy, you know, with Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation and Fallout. But nevertheless, Fallout is, I mean, it's relentless. It's almost nonstop action. It's thrilling stuff.
Absolutely. Mission Impossible Fallout was amazing. I got to tell you, I was really thoroughly impressed. It's interesting how Christopher McQuarrie kind of up the ante in both of his films. You know, he came right after Brad Bird's phenomenal take on the Mission Impossible series in 4. So for him to come along and do what he's done to the series is quite amazing. He did a great job, and Tom Cruise at the top of his game, just doing what he does best.
McQuarrie's doing a whole reinvention.
Yeah,
like Rogue Nation kind of falls a little bit. Brian De Palma, more spy thriller, and then now he's upping the action. I think he's reinventing the.
I think it's smart, though, to find a good balance, because I think we're right where we need to be. The action is great because it's powerful, it's heart stopping, it's great, but also the mystery is good. I like that. That really kind of sets it apart, and I think it's found the right beat that it should stay at for at least another film or two. I think if we're gonna get another Mission Impossible,
they found a great villain too. Henry Cavill is great in this film.
Henry Cavill is fantastic.
You know, is it a spoiler that he's the villain of the film? And it's only all over the trailers.
Yeah,
sure. I was very. I don't know if I've ever liked him in a movie prior to this. I thought he was great in this movie.
Oh, fantastic. Any other films, sir, before I move on to Aaron as
the
well?
The last one, which I know you guys hate, is The Meg.
I found it
enjoyable. Mm. I found it satisfying. It's not art. It's never meant to be. It's not Jaws, but it's way better than Sharknado. I found it to be completely enjoyable for what it is.
Wow. Unbelievable. That is on my no spoilers, but that is on my worst films of the summer.
If not all time.
It's quite possible. All right, Aaron, your summer picks of 2018. What did you think?
We're doing favorite or best?
We're doing best. We're doing the best films.
Well, we thought, yeah. Okay. For me, there is.
Okay.
Like, best is quality. It's great. Favorite is just, you know.
No, no.
Stuff all right. That I really
done
enjoy.
Deal. What do you think? Yeah, let's do the best. What do you think?
Well, the 10 for me is Tag. It's the best.
Oh, you're starting from 10.
Oh, you're starting from 10 going to 1. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just real quick. But Tag is 10.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Best comedy of the year.
I still have yet to watch it.
Consistent. The laughs are consistent. Everyone in that cast have great chemistry with each other.
Cool.
And John Hamm. You'll love John Hamm if you haven't loved him yet.
I don't want to say prejudice, but I'm not a fan of Hannibal Buress's comedy. I find him a little irritating. Is he good?
He's kind of the back burner.
Oh, okay.
So if you're not a fan, then he's not too much as much as everybody else.
Okay, good. I'll check that out then.
Yeah.
All right, Tag.
But his comedy's real deadpan in the movie.
All right, good.
Compared to everybody else.
Good, I'll check it out. Jeremy Renner.
I'm breaking the rules, and 9 I have a tie because I think both of them deserve to be in the top 10 at least.
What's that?
It's Crazy Rich Asians, which is one of the best romantic comedies in a long time.
Nice.
And this movie is such a gem, and I wish so much more people saw it. Was Hearts Beat Loud?
Wow!
Wow! With Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is so good. It's like this year's Begin Again, and Nick Offerman. I've never been more impressed with him.
Wow! It played at this year's Miller Film Festival.
It did,
and it was at Kyle Manu for like a week.
Yeah, if that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a gem. So definitely watch it.
That should be hitting on. That should be hitting video in the next couple months. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. Cool. Sicario was 8 for me. There's a scene in that movie I still cannot get over. I still think about it.
The ending?
The grocery. No, the grocery store.
Oh, that's haunting
stuff.
Now,
don't ruin it for anybody, please. But do
yeah,
you,
no, no.
Don't do that because that would be actually coming out on video here soon as well. Are you guys in the camp of saying that is just as good, if not better, than Sicario?
Different. Yeah. It's different enough.
It
still fits in that world, but it's a very different story. Yeah. The fact that Emily Blunt and her character are not in the film makes a world of difference because now it's a very masculine story, but it still becomes a Western because it's about this young woman, how she's defined by the Josh Brolin character and vice versa.
It's weird that we got a sequel to that film that no one asked for, no one wanted, but yet somehow they delivered an incredibly taut little just – action Western film, and there was just enough. How can I say? I don't want to say pulp because I don't think that's the right word, but I guess you could say.
I agree with you. Yeah,
could pulp. Be pulp, you know.
Yeah. And we both said that Taylor Sheridan, the fact that he wrote it, makes a world of difference.
Yeah, for sure. What else on your list,
sir?
I
think Benicio del Toro should get a nomination.
For
I
that?
Agree.
He's so much better than he was in the first one.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, what else you got there, sir?
Operation Finale.
Oh, yes. I have yet to see it. Was
Search
it good?
For Eichmann.
Yeah, the Search for Eichmann.
I was pretty blown away. I'm a huge Oscar Isaac fan, and that guy, he can act.
I'm a huge Ben Kingsley fan, so.
Oh, you're going to be happy. Because when those two play off each other, and they're stuck in a room together, and they're bouncing off, it's phenomenal.
That's awesome.
Good.
It's kind of like De Niro and Pacino in Heat.
Ooh.
It's just. Those two work so well.
I was just talking to Joel Agnew about this today. It's crazy to think the last time that Ben Kingsley made a film about the Holocaust, it was Schindler's List.
It was.
He's on the complete.
He was on the complete opposite end,
It takes a little too much from Argo, but and it's not as good as Argo, but it's pretty phenomenal.
Operation Finale, is it still playing?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure how long, so make sure.
Watch it while you can.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
6 was Incredibles 2. Mm. So good, like... It just it's funny, it's heartfelt, there's action. Brad Bird's pretty amazing director.
Yeah, he seems to find it's weird how he seems to have a voice, but yet this one seems a little different than you know, the Incredibles or the original Incredibles.
I think it's much better than the first one.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's really saying something. He did the character design for my favorite Amazing Stories episode, which is Family Dog, directed by Tim Burton. Actually, Tim Burton did the designs. Brad Bird is the director of that episode.
Right.
Family Dog, check it out.
Yeah. What else on the list? Kin. Wow.
Wow, that's high
up there, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, when you first watch the trailer, you're like, oh, this is Netflix material because it really looks like Netflix. Yeah, yeah. And when you watch it, you're like, yeah, this is something that should have been on Netflix. But the Baker brothers, like the last 30 minutes, they throw out a whole bunch of visual effects and it's like top looking visual effects for such a small budget. The only thing I was kind of iffy about is they cram so much world building in the last 15 minutes. Like they leave you guessing until the last 15 minutes and they just throw everything at you. Which is kind of hard to take in, but it's good because it leaves you at a cliffhanger. It leaves you wanting more, and it leaves you for a sequel, which I really want.
I'm assuming that there wasn't a lot of press about this because I guess it was getting – I guess it's a small film, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, I'm guessing that the buzz on it wasn't that great anyway.
Yeah, it's mixed reviews.
People very, very much people. Mixed reviews. But the fact that it hits your top 5 for the summer is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I saw this trailer a long time ago on Facebook.
One right, no, I remember that.
Popped up. And I'm like, whatever. But I'm glad I went. I'm so glad I went.
Fantastic. Yeah. What else
James
is
James Franco is so good.
Yeah.
For researching.
John Cho. I heard the
Such
ending to that
story.
is a shocker.
There's, they take you in so many different routes. You don't know, your head is just like, I don't know where this is going.
Right.
And I haven't had a movie like that in a long time.
Wow.
So good. Three is Mile 22.
Mark Wahlberg.
Peter Berg.
And unbelievable. Peter Berg. Mm-hmm. It's 95 minutes of no effing around. It's just straight. This is what we're doing. Take it or leave it, and they just go for it.
Yeah, I was. I have yet to see that myself for this summer, and I am very excited to watch it. Extremely excited to see it. I'm a huge fan of Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg. Their collaborations.
You have a favorite of theirs so far?
So far, it's a tough call because I like Patriots Day. I think that Deepwater Horizon is fantastic, and I also love Lone Survivor.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, Lone Survivor is very good. I think Mark Wahlberg really pushes his acting chops in Lone Survivor.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that if there was one that I have to say the collabs are good, is that would be Lone Survivor. But like I said, Deepwater Horizon is just fantastic.
Well, if you think his acting is good in Lone Survivor, wait till you see Mile 22.
Okay, great.
He lets loose.
Good.
And this screenplay from a first-time screenwriter, which is a woman, is so edgy and so there's like so much swearing in it. It's just so.
You mean it's written by a woman? It's a very masculine style film. You saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and it's a great script.
Wow. So Mile 22 still playing in theaters right now.
Yes.
Fantastic. What else?
Rush out and see it. And then the last two is number two is, of course, Mission Impossible.
Fallout.
Yeah, this movie is phenomenal.
Tom Cruise.
I was like.
2 hours and 45 minutes felt like an hour and a half. Yeah. Yeah. It's very true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Mission Impossible is one of those movies where, after reflecting on it, I think it is one of the better films of the summer. I think that after reflection, I think Professor Barry's analysis is absolutely correct. I think bringing back
Michelle Monaghan
was a mistake. But I do understand why, because I think this is the last time we're going to see her. And I think this kind of closes the canon on their relationship. So, to be honest, I think they brought her back for effect. Didn't work out too well. But ultimately, I think this is the last time we're going to see her in the film. Spoilers. Ah. So, in any Mission Impossible film, for sure. So, he's hooked up with Rebecca Ferguson, though. And she's way better.
She's the female Ethan Hunt. I mean,
they
complete each other. She understands him in a way that's very complex and really messy. And I think that's
she should get her own movie.
Yes,
she should. She's very
good. If they kill him off, she could be the lead of it. And I think that would work just fine.
If Ethan Hunt dies, my love for Mission Impossible dies with it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they were going to do that at one point when Mr. Cruise, who I'm a big fan of it, as you are, but when he had that period when he was jumping on a couch talking about how much he loved Katie Holmes, there were talks at Paramount Pictures to replace him with Brad Pitt. They were going to kill him off and replace Brad Pitt as the head.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I want that to happen, but if they take that kind of action now, I think it would be welcome because – let's face it. I mean, he's survived so many things. It would be a shock to kill Ethan Hunt. In the same way it was a shock when they killed off Mr. Phelps in the first movie.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's a good point. That's a good point. I still think Mr. Phelps should have been Peter Graves. That's just me, though.
Would have been a different movie, especially after Airplane. It's like I love him too. But how seriously can we take him Airplane? You know,
that's a good point. It's a good point. I love John Voight, though. By the way,
he's great.
He's awesome. He's awesome in that movie. All right, what's number one, Mr. Medeiros?
So number one, this movie got released in May. The reviews have been phenomenal, and this is right now my number two best movie of the year I've seen so far. It is First Reformed.
First Reform with
Ethan Hawke.
Magnificent stuff.
Paul Schrader. He has a great track record. Unfortunately, his last few films have not been that great.
The Dying of the Light.
Dying of the Light with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
There was one before that, another Nicolas Cage. Doggy Dog with Nicolas Cage. Paul Schrader, he's been striking out.
This brings him back.
Yeah, First Reform is a... is a film that I don't know if you've seen it or heard about it.
I haven't seen it yet.
It deals with I don't even want to talk about it because I think you should see it because I think you'll appreciate
it. Catholicism.
Not even. Yeah, I guess you could say. Yeah, maybe.
Did you?
Yeah, no. But I think it's more than that though. Don't you?
Yeah,
think?
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. It does a better job of what Mother tried to do.
Yeah,
a little bit with a mix of terrorism and yeah. religion and all this kind of stuff. Hmm.
It's interesting. I always have an affinity for films that have honest questions about the afterlife. Yeah. Honest questions about does God exist? Because those are questions I think that no matter who you are, no matter what, whether you're an atheist or a Christian or what have you, there are those questions that everybody has. I don't care what your spectrum of where you come from. Paul Schrader was actually, his father was a, or I guess his father was deeply spiritual. Matter of fact, I think his father was a Calvinist.
Yes, that's correct.
And that has taken effect on him, and you can see it in this film, you know. And in some respects, the reason why I really think that this is a film that definitely will not get any play at the Oscars at all.
You don't think?
I don't think it will. But it's something that should be seen. And like I said, I have very deep Calvinist roots myself, because I know what that means, and I know what that, you know. So when you hear that and you see what he's put on screen, it's pretty fascinating stuff. So, yeah, First Reform starring Ethan Hawke. It's like one of those – it's weird because Ethan Hawke shows up in these little tiny films that get so – that get – everybody loves him when they see him, but not enough people see it.
Yeah.
Like Predestination.
Yeah.
The Spirig Brothers.
Excellent.
Great film, right?
Yeah, great science fiction.
Great
film.
Science fiction movie. That movie knocked me on my rear end, as it were. Great film. So this is First Reform should also be there. Check it out. I think you guys will really appreciate it.
It's on DVD now?
Yeah.
Cool. DVD, Blu-ray. It's available.
And Schrader doesn't use widescreen. He uses like a pan and scan version. So it's like
boxes. He does the 4:3. He does full screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he kind of boxes Ethan Hawke in, which is part of his intention.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a very cool film choice.
Yeah.
Something that I would not have assumed. That would be the case, but it works for what he's trying to accomplish.
Great stuff.
So, I thought maybe we were going to get when I told Aaron about it, I was like, is he trying to reinvent what he did to The Exorcist?
Oh, I like that movie.
I don't know. So do I. Yeah. I like them both. I like both Rennie Harlan's take on it and
he wrote Last Temptation of Christ.
Right.
Well, he adapted it. Yes. Yeah, yes.
He adapted it. Yeah. He adapted the screenplay for that, for sure.
But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is intriguing to look at his body of work, because it is primarily about Catholic guilt or religious guilt, or the weight of trying to be a good holy person in an unholy world. He is the author of Taxi Driver. He is the author and director of Hardcore, and he's the director of Autoerotica.
You did? It's not
Autocorrect.
Autocorrect.
With Greg Kinnear. I mean, his movies have dealt thematically with these issues of men who are
deeply torn. And Light of Day.
Light of Day, too, which is amazing.
Yeah, Hardcore is a film that not many people know about. It was back in the day, it was a very, very risque film.
The movie 8mm is a lot like Hardcore.
Absolutely.
They're very similar films. Hardcore is with George C. Scott. Yep. His daughter's vanished. He searches for his daughter, realizes his daughter is now a pornographic actress, and he basically gets involved in this sordid world trying to rescue her.
Right.
It's pretty nuts.
It is. Matter of fact, it is. And like I said, that's where 8mm, I'm assuming, got all of its inspiration from.
Oh, absolutely,
from. So, and by the way, 8mm is a great film. No disrespect to Joel Schumacher or Nicolas Cage. I think that was a very good
Not
movie.
A fan of that one, but interesting.
You know why I like it? I think that film is so good because it takes chances at showing the seedy underbelly and not being afraid to. I really liked that. I don't know what it was. I felt like it was appropriate. Sometimes I would feel it was too exploitative.
That's how I feel about it.
See?
I feel like exploitation.
Yeah. And I felt the exact opposite. I thought it felt like this was really appropriate for what they were doing, and I really enjoyed it. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the fact that First Reformed is fantastic. So check it out. That.
Cool.
Second best movie of the year.
All right. And what's the other one? What's number one?
Number one right now, best movie of the year, is You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix.
You have picked, spoken like a true film critic, two small movies
that are hard to get watched, hard subjects.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, do you really want to declare it best film of the year now?
Well, no, I'm not declaring it right. I'm not putting it in stone. I'm just like, from what I've seen so far.
Okay.
That is my number one.
Okay, because I saw that, I'm like,
and two, one
it's
and two.
Early. We still got time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, as of right
Aquaman's coming out. Come on.
Gotta keep the slate clean for Aquaman.
Well, that's keeping the slate clean for two movies I'm really looking forward to is the one by the creators of This Is Us, Life Itself.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Life Itself and A Star Is Born.
Ooh. I have my worries about that, but apparently Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga have
knocked it out of the park.
So that's what I keep hearing myself.
Life itself, no. No, I can't. I can't do This Is Us. I'm not doing that.
That show is great.
Julia loves This Is Us.
Someone has to.
This
Is Us is awful.
It's dreadful.
It's awful.
It's insufferable.
It's insufferable. I'm with you, Professor Barry. I'm talking about
it. Shut up.
Such melodramatic garbage.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my quick favorites of the year. Excuse me, of the summer so far.
Yep.
I'm with you guys on Solo. I think Solo's fantastic. I was not expecting to like it, but I actually walked out of the theater and said, man, that is what a summer movie should be. When I walk into a theater, that's what it is. Your prediction... even though it was wrong,
completely wrong.
Even though it was completely wrong, you were completely right. That movie, without a doubt, to me, was the definition of what a summer movie is, and I think it was very well done. Do I have problems with it? Sure, obviously, everybody does have problems with it, but I really enjoyed it. Thought it was worth every penny I spent on it, which was none. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But it's still good. I also had an affinity this year for, I tell you, I really loved, like I said, Mission Impossible Fallout. It was great. Really thought that was one of the blockbuster summer films of 2018. I really thought that Tom Cruise did a bang-up job in that, and he banged himself up as well doing the job. Literally broke his ankle doing it. I thought that was very well done. I also think that, I tell you, a lot of people aren't talking about it, and I think I expressed my love for it. I think my favorite film of the summer is Hereditary. Hereditary is probably my favorite film of the summer. There is something haunting about the film. There is something that is...
I wouldn't know. I'm going to do
everything. Yeah, I know, you should. There is something that I don't think it's going to happen, but I think Toni Collette's performance in the film is just amazing. The 7 minutes when she's sitting in that... it almost felt like I guess it was a recovery for, I guess for family, for death.
Yes. The grief counseling group.
The grief counseling group.
Yeah.
She does so much good acting in that 7 minutes that I just, you know, when she's telling her story, you're just sitting there going, wow, that's insane. And then when she breaks down, you know, I'm literally, you know, crying my eyes out there for a few minutes, and I'm just like, wow, that was incredible. She did an incredible job, but that whole film is incredible. I will say that it's not perfect. I've watched it twice. I will say that there were certain things that were a little exploitive that they could have taken out. I think when we see what we see on the roadway in the very after the accident, I thought that was a little too much.
I agree.
To be honest, I think it would have been much better to have that been a reveal when she's painting, you know, or not painting but doing her models and things.
I agree.
I think that would have been more powerful.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm. We didn't need that. I mean, that 2 seconds should have just been slipped right out of the film, and I think that would have been a much better movie for it.
Agreed.
But without a doubt, Hereditary for me is probably one of the best films of the summer. No doubt. I think that for me, that guy, Ari Aster, I cannot wait to see what's next for that guy. Because that movie, there's just something completely profound and powerful about the film, especially the way it ends. It's just, I can't even explain it. Anyway, Hereditary is phenomenal. Gabriel Byrne, wonderful in the film as well. I can't remember the teenage
Alex
boy's
Wolf.
Name. Alex, is that his name?
Yeah, Gene.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. So I hate to sit here and gush about how much I really enjoyed Hereditary. But I liked it so much, and I very rarely ever do it. I watched the movie twice in the theater. Mm. And that was that. Darn good. I'm surprised that no one has Action Point on their best of.
10 points for you at home if you remember Action Point.
Which is out. Is it out today?
It came out last week, as a matter of fact.
It is now in the $5 bin at Walmart.
It will. You're absolutely right. It is. You know,
We haven't talked about Jurassic World.
That was the next one because we're going to talk the worst. But that was the one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I noticed that there are two films that I didn't get a chance to talk about. A Quiet Place would we consider? I don't think that's
March. I think
that came out in March, right? Yeah. I thought so too. But one we didn't talk about, of course, was the Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yes.
I think that surprisingly, I thought after watching Ant-Man and Wasp and Deadpool 2, I thought that that movie would be on my best of list, and surprisingly, it didn't make either list. I thought it was just kind of a middle-of-the-road film. Yep. Both of them were.
Ant-Man and the Wasp finally won me over late in the film.
Right.
The big car chase scene I thought was ingenious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought the way it introduced Ant-Man being in the quantum universe was wonderful. And I love that final stinger at the very end, pun intended. But at the same time, for me, it's lesser than the original.
All right. Now, this is going to be the fun part. Aaron, I'm going to start with you. What is your worst films of the summer so far?
Here we go. I won't talk about them, so I'll just go through them. 10 is Ocean's 8.
Wow.
It's more of a disappointment to me, not like worst. So that's why I tried to keep it at the bottom of the list.
It's the female Ghostbusters version of Ocean's 11.
I'd rather watch this than Ghostbusters though.
Wow.
I think this is better than that, but I think it's a shallow film.
It's disappointing.
Next.
9, Spy Who Dumped Me.
Oh my god.
And thank God I didn't watch that.
Yeah. That's on my list.
8, Happy Time Murders.
Okay.
7 is Sorry to Bother You.
Good.
Jeez.
I liked it to a degree, but it wasn't.
It's on my worst of list.
You're both wrong.
Hey, listen, we're gonna give you Meg. Okay.
Yeah.
You give us Sorry to Bother You. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. Next.
6 is Jurassic World.
Yep.
5 is Ant Man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 4 is Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee.
Mm-hmm. 3 is The Meg.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise.
2 is Hotel Transylvania 3.
Wow.
And the worst movie of the summer is Breaking In.
Oh, really?
Gabrielle Union.
Oh, jeez. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you...
And very, very wrong, you should.
Yeah.
That's one where it's like, don't mess with the mother.
Yeah.
That's one. Or Payback is a mother.
Payback is a mother. That's one of the stupid taglines.
And I was so excited because it was James McTeague. He does good stuff.
You know? James McTeague did that. Wow.
Yeah. And it's just
not the director of V for Vendetta. Jeez.
Excuse me, The Raven.
Oh, gosh.
I forgot about The Raven, too.
That's right, you did.
He only does
good work with the Wachowskis.
And here's a super nerdy film thing. There's a movie with Burt Reynolds I love called Breaking In.
I know what you're talking about.
I love that film.
It's a great film.
I hate that it's always going to be like, have you seen Breaking In? Oh, Gabrielle Union. So it's like the Burt Reynolds movie's been erased completely now.
What about you? What are your worst films of the summer?
Oh, I mean, top tippity top is The Spy Who Dumped Me. I hate that film.
Wow.
It's 2 hours, and it's excruciating. I've found Kate McKinnon hilarious on Saturday Night Live. I really have. And she's just
She hasn't found her niche in the market of movies.
She's a very unique and original comic actress.
Yeah, she is.
I don't know if there's a proper vehicle for her. And you know, that's fine. Like, that's what happened to Chris Kattan. He was brilliant on SNL. There was no film that really worked for him. Some of these comic performers... No.
God, wrong. No. No,
no. No, no.
Night at the Roxbury.
There you go. He needed to do the Mango movie. That's what he needed to do.
Yeah, he did.
But no, like sometimes, you know, the right vehicle just isn't there, you know, and unless they create the vehicle themselves, or sometimes it's something like Freddy Got Fingers, like let's never give this guy a movie again. Anyway, this film is terrible. It made, it completely squandered Mila Kunis. It's a better action movie than a comedy, which is a bizarre quality of it. The plot makes little to no sense. It's one of these films that really does this great drinking game quality of it, where just when you think it couldn't get any worse, 5 minutes, they keep coming up with something.
Wow.
The movie has a climax on a trapeze. It's meant to be serious. It's taken seriously. It's a suspenseful trapeze climax. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't wait. I'm someone who loves to go to the movies. I can't wait for this thing to end. I cannot wait to see the outside world.
For me, Spider Dummy suffers from what Happy Time does. It's not funny. And I think if it was funny, it would have balanced it out a little bit better. It would have been a good action comedy. So
that's a cardinal sin. If a comedy's not funny, the movie doesn't work. That's all there is to it.
And absolutely. I think the violence was pretty
very
grotesque
strong.
And gruesome.
Yeah. So off-putting.
Comedy.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, is that going to be your tip-top?
Yes. All right. Stop there.
Sorry to Bother You is in my top three. All right? The next one on that list is Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Wow, that movie was garbage. not as much garbage as Jurassic World, mind you, but garbage nonetheless. And
so a step up from Jurassic World.
But by only half a star. So if we could put it that way.
Okay.
And then last but not least, of course, the worst movie of the summer belongs to that ridiculous pile of dreck called The Meg. That is a movie that you can actually wait for the dollar bin to buy. All right? Matter of fact, wait for it on Sci-Fi when you can pay for it through your cable bill. I thought that movie was awful. I had no fun with it. Jason Statham sucked in it, and I love Jason Statham. The effects were horrendous. The movie was boring. And the only redeeming quality was that cute little 8-year-old girl who was just absolutely adorable. And I couldn't wait for that shark to eat everyone else but her. So
you basically got your wish.
I almost got my wish. Jason Statham and Bing Bing didn't get eaten. Yeah. So I wanted Bing Bing and Statham to get eaten, but they didn't. All right. No spoilers. They didn't get eaten, but almost everyone else did. Anyway, I hated The Meg. Boy, I can't wait to watch the extended edition on Blu-ray. Yeah,
unrated extended.
Yeah, by the way, Sorry to Bother You is only on that list only because I thought the movie subject matter I thought was not good, and I thought that to defend it. I don't defend it for a second. I don't think it was poorly executed. I just think that the film ultimately just led up to something that didn't feel satisfying for me.
Sure.
That's what so no disrespect to Boots Riley by any stretch, but I just didn't feel like I was there was anything in there that I really, could cling to other than Armie Hammer's performance, who I thought was fantastic in the film. And he's only in it for, 7 to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
If that. So, yeah, that's in my top – that's my top three.
Well, I give Boots Riley all the credit for originality.
Yeah.
For sure. It's just – it didn't blow me away as most people hyped it as.
No, it's – it's just – for me, it just felt like I was ultimately bored and I couldn't wait for it to be over. If the Meg could eat the cast of Sorry to Bother You, that would also be good.
Yeah, very different film. Yeah. Although considering the crazy aspect of the last act of Sorry to Bother You, I would wonder if those characters could stand up to the Meg.
That's a very interesting
idea. That
would
be a very interesting film.
That would be a very interesting film. I don't know what's more compelling for you guys that are watching and or listening, the worst of list or the best of list. But I tell you what, if you want to go watch the movies, watch the worst of list. You'll have a lot of fun with them. They're that bad. Now, before we get out of here, Professor Barry.
Your wallet will hate you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You'll have fun.
So, Professor Barry and Aaron, before we get out of here, the fall is upon us.
Yes.
The movies that will be defining possibly the Oscars this year will be hitting theaters very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
Also, in the fall preview, we also get horror films in September as well. So what can we look forward to coming this fall? From major studios.
Well, from major studios, First Man is at the top of the pack. It premiered recently, I think, at Venice or Telluride Film Festival, and this is the film about Neil Armstrong, stars Ryan Gosling.
Under a little bit of controversy right now, too.
Yes, and I haven't seen the film, but I agree with those who are standing up for the film. It's a pretty ridiculous controversy.
I have to tell you, where we are as far as culturally and politically in the. I guess in this society, in the country right now, I do think that it was. I love Damien Chazelle. I like Ryan Gosling, even though he's a Canadian playing an American. No Canadian should be playing Americans in a film about an American hero. But
you
anyway,
hate a lot of movies.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. No, but what I'm saying is to be quite honest. With the exception of Kiefer Sutherland, he can be my Jack Bauer anytime.
What about Dan Aykroyd? Can he be your Joe Friday?
Absolutely, right. Every time. No, but in all seriousness, I will say this: I think that the controversy surrounding it, I think, should be saved until after you watch the film.
So the controversy is that we don't see Neil Armstrong plant the American flag on the moon. Some people are saying it's unpatriotic. The sons of Armstrong have spoken out of the film, saying the film is patriotic, but not necessarily. you know, in a way that's on the nose. And Damien Chazelle himself has said that he doesn't want the film strictly to be just an American story. He wants this to be a universal story. I think that's a good argument.
Damien, that sounds like a lot of Hollywood hooey drivel. But I will say this. I will give the film a chance.
Good.
I am a
good.
Huge fan. I will watch it first, and then I will be rated. But I do love – I do love I only give it a chance because I am a admirer of Neil Armstrong, number one. And number two, I am in love with The Right Stuff.
Yep.
That film is phenomenal,
and I've heard that film compared to this one a lot.
Yeah, so I will. I'm not going to sit here. I will judge it before I watch it about it being un-American, but I will still watch it.
I think Chazelle's a great director.
No, Damien Chazelle's a fantastic director. I've got his my favorite movie of his is Whiplash.
Oh yeah,
yeah, better than La La Land.
Can
by
I
far.
Tell you? I'll only spend like 30 seconds. Can I tell you my brief Damien Chazelle story?
You met him.
No, it's worse than that. It's really embarrassing.
Oh, sweet.
You'll love this. I was at the Denver Film Festival. I don't remember what year it was. It was a long time ago, maybe 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. And you'll get ahead of me when I tell the story. I was on the list of some press list of all the movie critics that were at the festival that year, and they had a list of movies that we could preview and we could meet the filmmakers. And there was this movie called Guy and Madeline on a Park Bench that I had access to. And one of the reps for the film said, "Hey, the filmmaker, writer, director would love to meet you. Will you see his movie?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." So I take a screen of the movie home. I watch it. I really didn't like it. It was in black and white. It was kind of a sort of musical. It had kind of a French New Wave thing, but I didn't like it at all. It just didn't connect to me. And for whatever reason, I just dismisses of it. So the rep said, "Did you see the film?" I said, "Yeah, I really didn't like it. Like, but like, I see that you're writing for this Hawaiian publication, Maui Time Weekly. The director would really love to talk to you. He thought it was really interesting that you're writing for a Hawaiian thing." And I'm like, "You know what? I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't like the film. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to meet him. I really don't want to like lie to him. And I just think it would be wrong." So of course it's Damien Chazelle. It's
right.
His first film.
This is his first film.
First damn movie. Mm-hmm. And of course he goes on to do Whiplash. He co-writes 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I'm in love with, and you know, mm-hmm. and of course, La La Land. Yeah, so I could have met Damien Chazelle like mm-hmm. long time before he's famous, and instead I saw his movie and like, I don't like it, and I missed an opportunity to meet this great filmmaker.
Listen, it's okay, it's justified. Your pretentious movie critic status needs to stand, and it needs to make a stand somewhere, even if it is with Damien Chazelle. Right? I'm telling you. That's what
he's an Academy Award winner now.
That's right.
But these are the stands that we have to make as critics. All right? These are the stands we have to make. He
what
didn't
kind of stand is this? I made a bad judgment call. That's the point of this story.
No. But it was a bad film. And I think it's honest that you say it was a bad film.
Bad is a strong word. I just didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I missed it. And, you know, and maybe I could have had a good opportunity. Maybe I could have had a good conversation with him about it. Instead, mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm uncomfortable being in a room with an artist whose work I didn't respond to strongly enough. And I didn't want to have to, like, fake my way through an interview. That was what I was afraid of. But really, I should have been smarter than that and, like, taken an opportunity to talk to him about the interesting choices.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
I love faking my way through interviews. It's how I survive. Professor Barry.
Like the shark from Egg.
Yes, exactly. First Man, of course, one of the very big movies of the fall, obviously surrounded by controversy, but we'll see once the film comes out how good or how unpatriotic it actually is. All right, next on the list.
Another one that I think you'll be very interested in, and I've heard very negative things about this film, but I can't wait to see it. Jason Reitman's film, The Front Runner, by Gary Hart. That story fascinated me when I was 10. I couldn't get enough of it. I love that they made a movie about it, and it's Hugh Jackman as Gary Hart, Sari Paxton as Donna Rice. I can't wait to see this.
Can I say something? I tell you what.
You would have voted for Gary Hart.
The G money of maybe 7 years ago would have been down to watch this movie. Okay? But in the age of Trump that we live in, the Gary Hart story is almost too mild of a story to even tell.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
So no disrespect to, you know, to Hugh Jackman or his performance, because he's wanted to do this for a long time.
Right.
But I don't think people are going to respond to this film like they would have. You know, look at Chappaquiddick. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think this movie is in trouble.
It's quaint. It's too quaint. You're absolutely
too
right.
Quaint.
It is a sex scandal that doesn't really have a lot of sex in it. It's not that scandalous. It's not as interesting as anything that's happened in the last 5 months in politics.
Nope.
You're absolutely right. There's a lack of outrageousness to the story. It is a very quaint story, which is funny because at the time it was red hot. It was
red
super
hot.
Scandalous. This thing ruined this guy's career. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see this film because this is a story that, like, as a kid, I was fascinated.
Oh,
by
yeah.
This.
No, I'm
I,
with
the
you.
The picture of him in the monkey business, that is ingrained in my head. I saw it on the cover of People and National Enquirer. Every news story, like Current Affair, was talking about this. And, you know, and I was one of those kids that thought, well, Gary Hart is definitely going to become our next president. Look at this guy. And this happens, and it really was like this. It was this big moment.
It was a very huge moment, as a matter of fact. I'm with you on that.
So anyway, yeah. So I've heard very mixed to negative things about the film, but I really want to see it. Jason Reitman has directed it, and I like a lot of his stuff.
Everything Jason Reitman has done has been very good so far. I mean,
except for Labor Day. That's the one he did. That
Labor Day was not very good, but I think Thank You for Smoking is still my
favorite. I'll remain silent on that one.
Thank you.
A fan of Labor Day?
Yeah.
Really?
I saw that movie 3 times in theaters.
I thought
you're the guy. You're the reason it made like $300.
Yeah. I think Thank You for Smoking is his best film. I love that movie. I don't know what that is.
I like Up in the Air. Up in the Air. Yeah,
Up in the Air.
It's my favorite.
You know who? Last night they showed Up in the Air on Turner Classic Movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love the film, but it's a little soon to be
a classic.
But then again, I've also seen The Fly 2 on Turner Classic Movies.
First of all,
I like The Fly 2, but what is it doing on Turner Classic Movies?
Listen, Daphne Zuniga's performance is riveting. All right, so if you haven't seen
You
Fly
went straight
2,
to Daphne Zuniga.
Yeah. Eric Stoltz.
She's great in baseball.
Whatever. He's okay, but...
He's okay.
But
Daphne Zuniga.
Daphne, in that movie.
Yeah, she's great in that film. Anyway, so The Front Runner. What else?
Let's see. Well, let's talk about horror. I mean, the new Halloween's coming out on the 19th of October.
Yep.
I'm excited about it. David Gordon Green is the last person I imagine to direct this film. But then again, he also did Your Highness, which was also a surprise.
Garbage.
Because he's a profound filmmaker. George Washington is a fantastic movie.
The David Gordon Green, the one of the last films he did Our Brand is Crisis with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
And Stronger.
And Stronger.
Stronger is fantastic.
With Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's an exceptional filmmaker.
I think the only reason I'm aboard with this Halloween movie is just because that John Carpenter is behind it. And
an
I think that John Carpenter, as executive producer, but also he's down with the idea.
Cool.
And I think that makes it a much better film to be behind. Because if John Carpenter is behind the film's ideas about his concept, I think I'm okay with it. So I'm very excited. I'm not a fan of Danny McBride, to be quite honest with you. That's not my bag. But seeing Jamie Lee Curtis back in that very titular famous role for her, I think it's going to be very good. I think it's going to be great.
And the new trailer is releasing today.
It almost feels like it's a Quentin Tarantino film, like it's a revenge flick, like she's getting ready for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And although I have to tell you, I was not intrigued by that first. By that first trailer where the guy holds up the mask to him like this and he's got it in his hand.
That was cool. You didn't like that?
I hated that. I thought that was dumb. But I still want to see the film.
Well, there's a new poster and the new trailer comes out today.
Oh, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
No spoiler. I don't want to see it. I've seen enough.
I'm with you.
No, I've seen enough as well.
It's only in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, why would, yeah.
Did you guys like H2O? I love Halloween.
I think H2O for Halloween film, H2O is fantastic.
Yeah,
But you see, what a lot of people don't realize is that's Jason Miner, the director.
Steve Miner.
Correct.
Who directed Jason, so you're right.
You're right. But Steve Miner is the director of that film, and Steve Miner, his roots are in the Friday the 13th series. And he
made the classic Lake Placid.
Tell you what, man. I love Lake Placid. Lake Placid is one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite horror movies of all time. I love that movie.
Wow.
But yes, you're right. H2O is very underappreciated in the Halloween trilogy or in the Halloween pantheon of film.
Yes.
I think H2O is excellent. More people should watch it.
Yeah.
So you should check it out. But yeah, Halloween, I'm very excited for. What else on this list, sir?
It premiered at the Venice Film Festival. It's in mixed to negative reviews, although it's like Mother. People love it or they hate it, and that is the new Suspiria. I cannot wait for this film.
Me too.
It's a long film. Apparently, it's low on scares, heavy on creepy atmosphere, which sounds great.
I like that.
The performances have been raved about. The visual style has been raved about. I think this director's on a roll. I thought it couldn't be more of a strange choice considering the last film that he made. But he's got a great ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's one of the best things Tilda Swinton has ever done.
Yeah.
And I've got a crush on Dakota Johnson, and I think she just keeps getting better and better. So I cannot wait to see Suspiria.
When you say she's getting better and better, does that...
As an actress.
Oh, okay.
She did a film for the same director. It's Luca Guadagnino. He did a film called A Bigger Splash, and her performance
in
that... I love that movie, and she's terrific in that film, and so is Tilda Swinton, too.
Yeah. Well, they said she's the best she's ever been in this movie.
That's great.
Well, I'm very excited because, like I said, I am... if they are following in the footsteps of... the Italian filmmaker.
Yes, Dario Argento.
Dario Argento, I'm down. Because he was all about creepy atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, and the movie is such a rich palette. This is a very different approach to it, but
yes.
It looks like it's faithful in some ways and also very distinct in other ways, which I think is great. He's not trying to do a shot-by-shot remake.
I'm down.
He's making it his own.
So. I'm very down with that. That's going to be great. And that should be coming out when? Next.
That is November the 2nd,
November 2nd.
On Amazon, but the week before, on Halloween, it does get a limited release, so you will be able to see it in theaters. I don't know if we're getting it, but I sure hope we do. Yeah, I want to see it on a big screen.
All right. What else are you looking forward to?
It's the biggest – for me, it's the biggest curiosity item of this year, if not this just this season. But what the heck is Bohemian Rhapsody going to be like? This movie has had a very long, long gestating period. Mm-hmm. It's had an extremely troubled production.
Yeah.
There's questions about whether Brian
Singer.
Thank you. But Brian Singer's name is even going to be on the film. But apparently it just came out that he is going to be credited for the film, even though he didn't direct all of it.
That's correct.
This movie was going to star Sacha Baron Cohen for the longest time. Remy
Malek.
Thank you, Rami Malek. I should remember these names. He's a fine actor. I'm not as excited about him playing the role as I was when Sacha Baron Cohen was involved. This is one of these films that could really go either way. I'm rooting for the film because, my God, who doesn't love Queen's music? And Freddie Mercury's life is fascinating, to say the very least. But I'm afraid this is going to be a homogenized and very safe film. So I'm very curious as to whether it's going to be the mainstream packaged and very safe and really ultimately forgettable movie that it could be, or if it's going to be something really special. This movie needs to be like The Doors. It needs to be dangerous. It needs to be interesting. I don't think it's going to be that, but I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very excited to see that myself. I am. I was fascinated by the trailer, so I'm very excited to see what we're going to get. I heard it's kind of a mess, but. I've read it's kind of a mess.
I love music biopics.
Yeah.
There's some so great ones.
Like
My favorite's Ray, for sure.
Nice.
And last night I just watched Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, first time?
So never saw Great Balls of Fire? Oh, I was going to say.
I saw it. It was on MGM channel.
Oh, cool.
Dennis Quaid is fantastic in that film.
It's a great film.
Good. Yeah, he's fantastic in the film.
I hope they, because there hasn't been a great music biopic in a long time. So I hope.
Nice.
Is Walk the Line the last great one? Or?
Walk the Line was great with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Solid film.
Yeah.
La Bamba and the Doors are my two favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walk the Line. If
or
you ever get
straight
a chance,
out of Compton, I guess.
Straight out of Compton. Yeah. Great.
I guess that is the last great one.
That's the last great one. That one's fantastic. So for sure. And then anything else we got to look forward to during this winter time?
Well, you know, this comic book movie. For me, I'm already over Aquaman. I'm sorry. I don't think it looks good. I can't wait to see Venom. And it's because particularly the director, who I think is very good, and the actor, who I think is brilliant, Tom Hardy.
You know what's interesting is that I'm
are you reversed?
I'm reversed.
Okay.
I could give a crap about Venom, but I think Aquaman looks great. Venom has not interested me at all, but I'll go watch it because I'm a comic book movie fan for sure.
James Wan's a great filmmaker, I love him. Yeah. The trailer has completely turned me off.
Wow, I'm surprised. It actually has gotten me hyped.
But I love the actor. I love the supporting cast, which could not be better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wan's just giving people what they want.
Yeah, I think he is. I think that's what DC wants anyway. Yeah. They need a hit that's on that.
Yes, they do.
Badly. I'm surprised you have not mentioned one film that's coming out.
There's a couple. There's a lot I could mention, but which one are you talking about?
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Creed 2.
Yes, I should have spoken about Creed 2 earlier.
Creed 2 is I am very suspect.
Me too. And for me, it is that plus-minus thing. The plus is that Stallone wrote it. The negative is that Ryan Coogler did not direct it,
correct,
which makes me very worried.
I am extremely
because
worried.
Because Mr. Coogler's involvement in Creed is a huge key element why that film is so special.
Right.
I love it when – you know, and Stallone, it's like if you look at his track record, you look at all the stuff he's done, sometimes as a writer, he goes a little too far in wanting to give an audience exactly what it wants. There might be something very formulaic about this film. Because on the one hand, going back to Ivan Drago and going back to that for emotional reasons is a brilliant idea. But on the other hand, this could be very by the numbers. And that's something that Creed was not.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that 100%. I'm really worried. This movie seems a little too on the nose, I guess it was. But I am still looking forward to it because I have a love for Creed that I didn't think I'd be able – that was a movie I didn't think I'd like at all. And I was completely floored by
that movie. Had me sobbing.
Absolutely.
And I know we talked about this before. The scene where Rocky Balboa basically tells the doctor ultimately what happened to Adrian, that destroyed me. to find out what this beautiful character had to go through and how he lost all of his life and how he's facing what she had to go through.
Yeah.
To humanize a character mm-hmm. that, I mean, I had the Rocky poster. I remember the Rocky mm-hmm. III poster. This character is, you know, one of the great embodiments of the American dream, and to see him at his most vulnerable. And then to go through the film and not like, well, we're going to step away from that. They did not fall back from the cancer subplot of the film.
They didn't. They leaned right into it.
They stuck to it, and they yep. made it such a beautiful and really surprising part of the film. And I think that's the thing I'm worried
it
about.
It was brilliant because yeah. they made it part of the training montage.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And it's unflinching. And that is so risky and so amazing. Like, it could not have gone better. So I'm worried about, as you've indicated, that this sequel is not going to take those risks, but it's going to go in the ways that, well, it might be crowd pleasing. It's not entirely honest.
Yeah, and that's the one thing Ryan Coogler did with Creed. It was extremely honest.
It's a gritty film. Like, even the relationship with the Tessa Thompson character, that could have been so maudlin. Instead, it's really moving.
It's very moving. And once again, Ryan Coogler does something that a lot of people don't understand, is that he doesn't turn his African-American characters into caricatures.
Into symbols, yeah.
Right.
Agreed.
He makes them characters.
They're flawed. They're complex.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're not. And like I said, when I mean caricatures, they're not over the top. They're being human beings.
There's an honesty to those characters.
Yeah. When you watch, like when you watch Fruitvale Station, same difference. Even when you watch something like his third film, Black Panther, same difference.
Yeah.
Black Panther, extremely over the top, but there are actual real characters.
Yeah,
in
there's
the
real
film.
Integrity to those characters.
Yeah. They're very much integrity in the characters, yeah. And that's what I loved about Creed. And that's what makes you care about them, because their characters are so well drawn out, and I think that that's very good. And I think I'm a little worried because he's not part of it, but Ryan Coogler says that
this guy who's picking up for him, yeah. I can't remember his name either.
Capel.
Yeah.
Capel Jr.
Thank you.
Yeah, he went to film school with him. So I'm hoping that he is from the school of Ryan Coogler.
I hope they had long, long talks about this.
Yes, I do too. I'm so scared.
So if you're
going
to do this movie, here's what I would do.
Right, right.
You got a pen? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I'm praying that he wasn't the one that helped cut the trailer. I hope that wasn't him. I hope that was the editor. I hope that was somebody else that needed to cut that trailer really quick, because that trailer was awful.
What do you think?
Trailer atrocious.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not as excited as Creed 1.
Oh, I am. I really am.
I think they're playing it a little too safe going back with the whole Draco thing. And,
I think it is safe, you know, but I think it is appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, does have to face the demons of the guy who killed
his dad. This is the thing that defined his life. His father was murdered in the ring.
Yeah.
Right.
Murdered by this guy. And at one point, you know, and it'd be interesting to see if Stallone does decide to take it there. Our affiliation, I'll put it that way, our affiliation with Russia is a very big deal right now.
Yeah.
And our antagonistic relationship with Russia in the 80s was a defining quality of Rocky IV. So if anything would make me very satisfied, obviously you can't directly talk about the political climate right now, obviously, but to find
– Sylvester Stallone can. Did you see Rocky IV?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I'd be very interested if Stallone does – do something as a commentary or something allegorical, just something a little edgy and surprising with that. Especially, like, who is Ivan Drago now? That's interesting to me.
That is
what
interesting.
What happened to that guy? Yeah. What, you know, and especially, you know, the fall of the Berlin Wall, like, then what happened to that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Mikhail Baryshnikov is an example. A real person, by the way, not a fictional character. Mikhail Baryshnikov, one of the greatest, if not the greatest dancer of all time, defected to him. Thank you. Defected. Taylor Hackford. Mm-hmm. Defected to America and became someone, like, the joke was like, the greatest dancer in all of Russia, Baryshnikov. America, Baryshnikov. What the heck would happen to a guy who is most famous for murdering an African-American athlete in the ring and then was defeated in his own country by the Italian Stallion? What the hell happened to that guy?
Right.
Would he? I mean, for Pete's sake, he lost that battle in front of Mikhail Gorbachev.
Right.
How disgraced was he? Was he able to even, like, become a boxer, plus the fact that he was juicing up? Like, you know, you get the sense that this could be, like, this match could have destroyed him, and the fact that he's able to have, you know, that he has this offspring, apparently, who's able to get in the ring and defeat the son.
You're right, because what's interesting is what's even more important, or what could be more important, is maybe this is Ivan Drago's son's way of seeking revenge for his father.
Exactly.
And I think that that is a very compelling story.
The sins of the father. Because Balboa feels very guilty and even very responsible for what happened to him. And, you know, we've all seen the footage. We've all seen Rocky IV. Obviously, it's not his fault that his best friend was slaughtered in the ring. It doesn't matter when right. he threw that towel and Apollo was going to die. In a sense, you could say Apollo wanted to die.
But like I said, I'm one of those guys that believe that in Rocky,
my frenzy.
But in Rocky, in Creed, is what I'm thinking is that if the man himself, Carl Weathers, does do some kind of cameo, we talked about it on the show before. I have a feeling that we're gonna see where it's a dream sequence or something to that effect, and we're seeing that Apollo has lived, and he's sitting on the. He's sitting on the couch or the patio with Rocky, and they're discussing whether or not or the resentment that Apollo has for him throwing the towel in Rocky IV and making him live. Why didn't you let me die in the ring? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. That's compelling stuff. Like, you know, thinking about that in the head, it's like, whoa, that if they don't have something in there like that, I mean, I'm going to be shocked because that would be fascinating.
If Stallone takes it there, this could be a surprisingly terrific movie. I mean, for Pete's sake, if it's even half as good as Creed, that would be really something
right?
else.
Right, I'm with you.
And the thing is, the stakes are very high because Creed was a shock. We didn't think we needed Rocky VII, but turns out we did. And it's the series like hit another peak like decades later.
Yeah.
So very curious about Creed 2, but I, like yourself, I'm very cautiously optimistic about it because if any movie is going to break my heart this year for sucks,
it's Creed.
This one.
It's Creed 2. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Yeah. Well, listen, we do have one movie to look forward to coming up here in September. What's up?
Oh, just real quick. Like I forgot to mention this. Michael B. Jordan produced Kin and helped front most of the money.
Oh, wow. Sweet. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. The movie Kin.
And he's not in the film.
No. Maybe. Okay.
Stop it. Don't ruin it. We do have one fall film to look forward to. Comes September 14th, Predator.
Yeah.
Or excuse me,
The Predator.
The Predator. So the Nerd Watch will be doing the premiere for The Predator on September 14th.
Super cool.
So it's going to be very exciting.
Is anybody going to go see the Nun opening night? I can't wait to see this movie.
I do too.
I'm a super nerd. I love the Conjuring universe. Mm-hmm. I love these movies. They're not that gory, but they're scary as hell, and they're full of suspense, and it's all about mood and atmosphere, and you got great actors in there, Tysa Farmiga in this case. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see this film.
And maybe, Conjuring 2 is much better.
Hey, listen, maybe if this Catholic Church scandal that's happening, that's brewing right now, maybe if that can't get the Pope resigned, maybe the Nun will.
Oh, my God. Well, since you're taking it there, let me throw this out because this is something I've really been thinking about. Is the Catholic League going to ban this film? Because they did a national and international boycott for the Golden Compass, and I don't want to give them the credit for like the movie was a failure, but the movie coincidentally failed. They went after Dogma hard. In fact, that probably only helped the box office of Dogma. And I've always found that to be extremely hypocritical and short-sighted because Dogma comes out and it's, you know, it's a challenging film, but it's actually a pro-faith movie, bottom line.
It actually is, yeah.
And in the same season, Stigmata and End of Days come out, which are like viciously anti-Catholic movies that are saying like the Catholic Church is hiding the truth of Jesus and these evil priests are hiding the sacred scrolls themselves. Like really like obviously on the nose anti-Catholic, and the Catholic League doesn't do anything about it. So I was curious if they were going to go after the nun because, I mean, for Pete's sake, at the very heart of it, it's about an evil nun for Pete's sake.
Well, I tell you, I'm very surprised the Nun looks like it's going to be a great continuation of the movie, of The Conjuring and the like. So I'm very excited to see it. And like you said, though, it's one of those things where the Catholic controversies, although I did agree with The Golden Compass because that movie was garbage. I did not like that movie
at all.
I'm not
a fan of it.
No, it was terrible. Chris Weitz. Oh, my gosh. It was terrible.
And he directed Operation Finale.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he did.
Glad he came back.
Yeah. I'm not watching The Golden Compass ever again. Thank God.
But The Nun looks beautifully shot.
Yeah, the nun does look good, so I'm looking forward to that. But yes, we should do the premiere for that. When is that? When is the release date for that?
Thursday.
Is it this Thursday?
This Thursday.
Yeah. All right. Well, damn it. Maybe we'll do that as well.
I have my tickets for Peppermint.
Oh, really?
I'm excited for Jennifer Garner's
comeback.
Really?
You mean the Death Wish starring a female lead? All right, if you say so, sir.
I love Jennifer Grey.
I do too, but I don't know if I love her that much. I'll watch though.
You know, I was never a big fan of Alias, and I'll tell you why. Because there was a trashier show on USA Network called La Femme Nikita.
La Femme Nikita.
I thought had Alias beat. Sydney Bristow is a great character. She was great in the character. I'll admit it was a good show, but like. La Femme Nikita, for me, that's where it was at. That show is trashy.
I tell you what, La Femme Nikita on USA was good, but I will say the one with Maggie Q was even better.
Oh, yeah, that was a good show. Nikita, that was a good show. Nikita was a great show
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Good series as well. Yeah. But listen, we're getting off tangent here. The Nun, all right? The Nun and The Predator coming up this week. Fall movie season has officially started. So let's see if the
And Peppermint.
Well, let's see.
I just rewatched The Kingdom, and she's great in The Kingdom.
Well, she's very good in The Kingdom.
Kingdom is good.
So you get to see a soccer mom take her revenge on a bunch of mobsters. Great.
Let's see a female soccer mom. See if she can take down a demonic nun and an alien from outer space. We'll see if that happens at the box office. It'd be very exciting.
It's absolutely a good way to put it. I mean, it's like. Either you can see a soccer mom murdering people or a nun murdering people. Mm-hmm. So it really is a weekend about female empowerment.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some really weird way.
For sure the nun's going to win the weekend because horror movies always win the first weekend.
You think it's going to be Peppermint?
It drops a lot.
Because I feel like Peppermint is way more – plus Peppermint's PG-13, right?
No, it's R.
It's R.
It is? R. Oh, now I'm intrigued.
All right.
And from the director, Taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first one, the
good the
one.
Best one, okay.
Yeah, Jean – what's his name?
Oh no!
Pierre. Pierre Morel.
Yeah.
Look, Pierre Morel. Like get these faux like French accents. For no, it is Pierre Monet.
Pierre Morel.
Jean Claude. How do you say Deco?
Well, gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure sitting with you for the last hour talking about the best and worst films of the summer. I certainly do appreciate it. Can't wait to talk more about the films of the fall. And then pretty soon the Maui Film Critics Society will be giving you their best of the year coming
Hawaii
up.
Hawaii Film Critics Society,
excuse me, the Hawaii
Maui
Film Critics
Society. Maui chapter, represent, but yes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Hawaii Film Critics Society will be giving you their best of probably when in November.
The
list for us comes out when
the season ends December the 31st.
Correct.
And then let's see, our nominations list I believe it's on the website. I believe it's January the 8th, and then our final list for the best. And we do include the worst films of the year.
Yes,
which is fun. I believe the 12th of January. But it's you'll be hearing a lot about that when it's coming up.
Okay. By the way, when we do our worst of list, you can't take Meg off mine. Okay. All right.
I don't rig the votes. If you vote that, and you nail vote me.
All right.
It happens all the time, folks. Like I love this movie called Silence with Scorsese. Came out 2 years ago. I was the only one who voted for that movie, so none of my votes counted there. So I created the foundation. And I'm the one counting the votes. And I'm like, oh well, I guess nobody likes Silence. So.
All right. Yeah. See,
I'm with you. Yeah, I love Silence.
Silence is a great film.
Great film.
All right, check us out at highfilmcriticsociety.org. We'll be at the local theaters watching The Nun, and of course, we're going to be doing the premiere of The Predator, which is going to be very exciting for the Nerd Watch. So, ladies and gents, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Watch some movies, doggone it, all you movie lovers out there. And by all means, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch. Follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. You can download the podcast, of course, on iTunes, on Audio Boom, on Stitcher, and on Spotify. And, of course, you can read all of the articles from Aaron on the NerdWatch Facebook page. You can check out Mr. Professor Barry at Maui Time Weekly, all of his articles, his movie reviews, as well his you can check out, he also reviews plays as well.
I do. Thank you, Maui Watch. And I got a whopper coming out on Saturday. I did a 2,000 word. It's one of my longest ever. It's an article, it's an essay, and it's also a defense of Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yes!
That's coming out. The name of the article is Ang Lee's Hulk, the most hated film in the MCU.
I love Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's coming out Saturday. Mm-hmm. That'll be on the Hollywood and Toto site, but I'll definitely put it all over the
Please.
Watch page.
I can't wait. I can't wait to read this.
A lot of fun writing.
I'm a huge fan. I think that is the most authentic version of the Hulk that has ever hit the big screen.
Agreed.
We'll get into that later.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, until our next preview and or review, we're out of time. So for myself, G-Money, my partners in crime, the one and only Professor Barry, and, of course, the master of hard media, the Cinnamon Scallop, the Cinnamon Scholar, Aaron. Peace out. Much love. Most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And please, go watch some movies. Let us know what you think. And until next time, I'll see you guys. Bye. Aloha.